Morning. What a beautiful day we have. And Lord, we just come full of joy and thanksgiving for the privilege of being able to come here in this very home, overlooking this valley and the territory that you've given us to possess for you and to claim for you and to pray for. We acknowledge our dependency upon you. We were very excited at the celebration of this 1 year of service of our pastor, Karen. We just thank you for her service and for her openness to you and for you, for her to bring forth the word of God from the heart of God. And we just come here to rejoice and thank you. And we have great expectation. And we praise you with our holy God of Israel. Amen.
Amen.
Can we all stand, and we're going to say out loud the opening scripture together. It's Psalm 90, verses 16 through 17, and it's the English Standard Version. And it is, "Let your work be shown to your servants, and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord be our God, be upon us, and establish the work of our hands upon us." Yes, establish the work of our hands.
The sun cannot compare to the glory of your love. There is no shadow.
Bring an offering to you.
we offer up our praise to you right now. For you are more than worthy. We just honor you with our heart and our minds today. And we praise you, Lord. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering. Oh, Lord, I bring an offering to you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's just stand in his presence for just a moment before we go to our next act of worship. Let's just stand in his presence for a moment.
All right. Well, this is an awesome time we get to give back to the Lord. We are so blessed. So, Father, we just thank you for this opportunity. Lord, we give to you with glad tidings. We are so happy to be able to give back, Lord. Thank you for all you do, the way you've blessed us all. And we just pray that you would bless these offerings and that they would be used to minister here and in this community and all around. In Jesus' name, amen.
Heavenly Father, truly, we thank you and praise you that living for you is not in vain, Lord God. I truly thank you for the life that you've given us, and everything that we have is from you and because of you. May you continue to be glorified in every part of our lives, Lord God. And this includes this special time, giving unto you your tithes and our offerings, Lord. This is yours. Lord, you know that our desire is to please you, to be well pleasing to you with the utmost integrity. So these, your tithes and these offerings, they are yours, Lord God. May you be glorified, and may it continue to help Pathway of Hope to be a light here in the community and around the world. I thank you and praise you, Lord God, that even part of your tithes and offerings, 10% of it that we give to the Four Square Church, part of that then goes to help with the Four Square Churches all around and the missionaries all around to spread the gospel continuously, Lord. Oh, Lord, I truly thank you. May you be glorified. May your blessings be poured out upon every part of this, Lord. We love you, Lord God. Thank you for all increase. Thank you for everything that we have. We thank you and praise you. May you continuously be glorified, for our life is not in vain, for you have given it to us. And every part can be glorifying you as we love and obey you and trust you. Thank you and praise you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. We thank you and praise you. Oh, I forgot. I have another something I forgot. I apologize. I forgot. So, y'all know that you're special, right? You just is special. I just love each and every one of you very, very much. I'm going to go switch to my head mic. Is that okay? Because I want both hands, and so I am using the head mic. So, I've been working on this for a while because I cannot believe that it's been a year since I was appointed. And a year ago was my first Sunday as a senior pastor, doing the service as a senior pastor of Pathway of Hope. But I cannot be here and this cannot be a church if it wasn't for each one of us. We all have been assigned in positions that God has given each one of us, correct? So we are all the body. I cannot do what I can do unless each one of us is working together. And I thank you and appreciate each one of you. So I have a little something that I made for each one of you because you are special, just really special. So just enjoy.
Hi, welcome everybody to Pathway of Hope. We're so glad to see you this morning. Before I give you the announcements, Pastor Janet wanted to come out and have an announcement here, so I'm going to turn it over to her.
Well, Pastor Karen, you're not the only one that has prepared stuff for this special day, so if you're able to get away from what you're doing and come on up, I have something for you from everyone. We couldn't wait till October, which is usually designated Pastor Appreciation Month. We thought this was the perfect time, and Debbie, who was not here, also orchestrated it. In here is cards of love and appreciation and also some little goodies. You don't need to open it now. If you want to, then by all means go ahead, but this is just for you that we want to give you and just say how much we love you. And Chris.
Oh, I have to tell my daughter, she'll be jealous because I got my daisies.
We love you. That's what we want to say with that.
I mean, this is like the best Sunday, you know, every Sunday's special. I mean, I love the Lord's Day, but I just thank you for each and everyone. I mean, I was just like, I can't believe it's been a year.
It's been a year.
I can't believe it. And I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for you guys. I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the prayers and if it wasn't the support. And I just, because you all know I wanted to run the other way, and God was saying, no, don't. I want you to take this. And so I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for each and every one of you. So I thank you. I thank
Absolutely.
You. Absolutely. Thank you. I thank you. I mean, I worked quite some time finding that slideshow that took a while for me. And I just,
well,
that
was
my,
so good.
My appreciation to each and every one of you. So I just thank you.
So this is from all of us.
Thank you, each and everyone. Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Love you guys. Thank you.
All right, Jonathan.
Okay.
It's a surprise on top of a surprise on top of a surprise. Oh.
Okay. Yay!
Thank you. Thank you so much.
We really appreciate you.
Thank you so much.
Pastor Janet, we're not finished, Pastor Janet. This is for you, and we want to say thank you for when you became the assistant pastor, and for all you've done and all you've contributed, and we just want to say thank you to you too, because you've been a joy to us, and what a wonderful blessing it was for you to accept this and to come up too. So thank you.
Thank you. I mean, let's face it. I mean, we've seen what she does.
She does
she's
everything.
Awesome. She's totally awesome.
She is.
Awesome, awesome. Thank you, Jonathan.
All right.
This morning, and she said, she goes, I miss you guys, and she said, congratulations on your 1 year. And so, but she's with her parents in California.
Debbie.
I just want to remind you about that fundraiser that Breakdown is going to be having, Breakdown International, and for their tour, the epic tour that's coming up, and that's going to be with Michael Jr., that comedian, and then also the Eagle Forum that's going to be coming up with Phoenix University of Theology, some awesome speakers. So you can talk to Dean or I on either one of those if you're interested. Do I have this? Oh, no, I have it on. Okay, how about now? I have it off, right? That's good. Off means off. Green light means off. Okay, we are good. All righty. So this is like, you're going to have to bear with me because I'm like, I was so major excited. And I the last 3 weeks, I've been like so excited about, and I got to get my gum out of my mouth. Excuse me. Thank you. Sorry. And but I was so excited because of what, you know, God's been giving me, right? You know, and to share. And so, I've just been like, and then I put it on Facebook, and then I was like, well, I shouldn't, you know, again, you know, the next Sunday. Okay, and then I did it on, oh, I'm so excited about this Sunday. I'm so excited about this Sunday. So then I go, okay, I don't want this to get old, but I'm really excited about this Sunday. I put on Facebook again. I go, I can't believe it. I mean, and, you know, when I was, you know, last Sunday, you know, was the Sunday that I was, our, you know, Pastor Carol Torres came and she blessed and prayed Pastor Doug and their family when they left, and then moved on to where God had them, and then blessed and prayed over Paul and I as I took over the senior position as being appointed by the senior pastor by the district supervisor Kimberly Dearman, and it was a process that went through. You're not just, you know, there, but I remember still being scared, right? You know, I told you how, like, at first I wanted to run the other way. I mean, Pastor Janet remembered. We all thought, you know, we're praying about where we're going to go. And then Pastor Janet remembers how God started convicting me, you know, shortly before the convention last year when we went to. And then
she saw me, you know, just in turmoil, and because God was working more. And unbeknownst to me, he was working on other people too. She was one of them. But it wasn't until that Sunday morning that, and I've shared this before, that when I was behind here and started to give the message as the senior pastor, there was something that was, there was a spiritual shift that had totally changed. And I saw it even with everybody else. They had everybody shifted. It was totally a God thing. Everybody shifted from Karen, the associate pastor, women's ministry director, as Karen, now the senior pastor at Pathway of Hope. There was an honor and the shift of the responsibilities that God had given me. But in my obedience and my walk of obeying God, that was when all of a sudden I felt this, and I can't describe this spiritual shift in me too. And it was like, don't mess with me and don't mess with my flock. Because it was at that point when I was in obedience to God that he empowered me and he rose up in me something I had never felt before, but it wasn't until that act of obedience. So it kind of reminds me of Jonah, you know, like he was running. Because, you know, at one point, you know, the whale stomach kind of was sounding kind of good to me because I was really scared about taking this position as a senior pastor. And so, you know, it wasn't until that obedience that God came in. So I'm sure we've all been in situations where we've had things where you kind of were a little scared, and it wasn't until you stepped into it that you saw that grace empower you that God gave you to fulfill and to do that. A new job, a new position, you have your first child, or, you know, you get married and you're excited, but yet, you know, it's a big, you know, change. And so moving, etc., you know, and yet you know you have to move, but then there's, you know, mixed emotions on it, and you do it, and then you just see the blessings. Sometimes it's not right away, but you see the blessings. And so I was just like so excited. But Pathway of Hope wouldn't even be here if it wasn't for one another helping one another. And I just am so thankful for that, that there is so much to celebrate. We are in an exciting time of year. Totally and completely exciting. Now also, did you notice that we're September 1st? And the first month, the 9th, right, is September. It's the 9th month of our year. And so 9 is also birth. Represents. And so, and it's you know, a woman carries a child 9 months and she gives birth. And God had carried a dream for Pathway of Hope with Pastor Johnny and Pastor Mindy Johnson. And this Pathway of Hope was birthed in the 9th month, where in the sense that people were coming in the summer, but it was on September 11th, a Sunday, that we met the first time with a community really knew about us at Coronado K-8 school. So we chose September to really officially birth Pathway of Hope, in a sense. So that's what I'm meaning by 9 representing birth, because often a woman carries a child 9 months. And so there's... it's an exciting time for us. Also, for Pathway of Hope, it'll be 8 years. So 8 means new beginnings. So I'm excited about what God has as we are in now another, that we're birthed again. It's a new year. But not only is September 9, and that's okay, you know, a woman carries a child usually, but it's also the new year, the Jewish new year. And so, and I'm just like, I'm like so excited about what God's given. Because then remember, he gave us divine grace. And we are going to be empowered. But he's also at the beginning of our year, which we go by the Gregorian calendar. So we're going, you know, January, he gave us the word to Pathway of Hope, receive. And then he gave us John 3:21 as a verse. And then just recently he said the key is John 3:21 plus John 6:21. New beginnings. I am excited about what God has for us. This is such an exciting time. Amen. If I can help somebody, that
That song I came about as I was doing some research on Google research, and it was written by Alma Basil Androzo, and she was an Arizona composer, actually. She wrote it, though, when she was living in Chicago in 1945. It was her best-known inspirational song. And then after World War II, some servicemen brought it back to England, where a Ralph Boozy, who was a famous music publisher, he had heard it, and so he secured the right to it, and he helped make this song an international hit. Now, some other people helped it to become famous, and in 1948, it was recorded by Gracie Fields. She was the English vaudeville star. So is that slide up to show you the slide of if I can help somebody? And then George Bevshay, do you remember him, the soloist with the Billy Graham Crusades? He went a lot with the Billy Graham Crusades. And Mahalia Jackson also was one that made it popular. There was also a duet version by Dale Evans and Roy Rogers. I would have loved to hear that one. Doris Day also was known to have sung it. And then in 1951, so it's continuing, 1945 was written, 1951, it became famous for an Irish tenor, Joseph Locke. In fact, it is on that album that I show you on his greatest hits. And so I was like, wow. Well, as you can see with the picture that shows the album of Mahalia Jackson, when I was doing some research because of Martin Luther King, it was a celebration on August 28th, on Wednesday the 5th. It was the 50th celebration of that march, the Freedom Walk, and then his big speech, I Have a Dream. And so Mahalia Jackson, when I was doing Googling, that came up, and it showed it. She did an album of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s favorite hymns or inspirational songs. When I saw that, I go, I don't know that song, if I can help somebody. So I did some research, and I started learning it. And I was, I go, I'm going to sing that. And then I developed a slideshow presentation with it. And it's a beautiful song. Noah Webster's 1828 American Dictionary. You know how I love to go to that. And it says, help is a verb transitive. And it says, to aid, to assist, to lend strength or means towards effecting a purpose as to help a man in his work. To, and again, to assist, but to lend means of deliverance as to help one in distress or to help out one in prison, like we're supposed to not forget those who are in prison, the word says. To relieve, you came and visited them and helped them. And to relieve also is another definition. To cure, to mitigate pain or disease. And then it says, it gives an example by Shakespeare, to help one with a blindness. We are to help those who are spiritually blind out there. Because we have the truth of Jesus Christ. We have the Holy Spirit, who is our helper, to help others. He is the one that strengthens us and empowers us. He is the one that we need to lean on in order to be able to be that help to somebody. It also has the meaning to prevent, because we want to help others to prevent them from doing things that are wrong. And that's what we are here together, to help one another. It says also to help forward, to help on, to aid in delivering from difficulty, to help one over a difficulty, to help, to supply with, to furnish. Do you see God did that? Do you remember just a few weeks ago when God talked to us about the loaded with benefits that we have and all that he has given us all that we need. We are richly supplied from our Lord God. A help in the noun is to aid, assistance, strength or means furnished toward promoting or deliverance from difficulty or distress. See, we have the Holy Spirit in us to help us so that we will be an example that God works out all things together for his good. No matter what happens, he is glorified. And so this is furnishing us towards promoting him. For we exist to bring fame to his name. Not to us, but to him. Then another example, it says, that which gives assistance, he or that which contributes to advance or purpose. It gives the example of Psalm 46, verse 1. God is a very present help in time of trouble. In fact, when you look at Psalm 46, verses 1 and 2, and then 7 and 10 and 11, through 11, I mean, it's a beautiful psalm, but I'm going to point out these ones. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Pause and think about that. I mean, is that incredible? We have a help, that helper, who helps us to help somebody's. Amen. We are not alone. And what did I do with my glasses? Here they are. I need them sometimes here. So I was thinking of slide 31 and that slide in the song that I used. We are to reminded to help others. God's love and plans for us. We need to remind them with a word or a song. And Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, plans to prosper you and not harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. We can tell them and share with them, God loves you and his plans are good. God is good all the time and he loves you, but we can just help somebody. Sometimes just not saying a word, but just being there. But sometimes just giving them a word with the truth. Sometimes it's good for us to be reminded with the truth. Sometimes it's good to sing a song or play a song for somebody, and it cheers them up. I don't know about you, but sometimes I've heard a song or you know, somehow, some way, and it just cheers me up. God gave us song. God gave us words to help one another. Amen. And then on slide 32, we are to help each other from the wrong decisions to go to the right decision. So sometimes we've made wrong decisions or we're going a wrong direction, and we're thankful when somehow, some way, we're corrected. And that's what the body of Christ is, for one another, to help each other, because sometimes we'll notice before somebody else does that they're going in the wrong direction and it is not pleasing to God. Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 says, if a believer does something wrong, go confront him when the two of you are alone. If he listens to you, you have won back that believer. The New American Standard Bible says, if your brother sins, go and show him his fault in private. If he listens to you, you have won your brothers. We're a family. We are a family. The body of Christ is a family, and we should love one another. So it's not just Pathway of Hope. When you see other Christians out there, we need to continue to help them. Slides, there were several slides, but slide 33 is one of them. And that's the one that I used several times throughout. And whatever we do, we are not living in vain. And I gave then 1 Corinthians 15:58 written there. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. The work of the Lord, to love God, to be obedient to him, and to love others, because that's where that Romans 8:28 promise comes in. It says, I will work out all things together for good to those who love me, to those who are called according to my purpose. And Jesus reemphasizes, there are two great commands, yes. And one is to love God, which, and then when you love him, you want to obey him. You're trusting him. You're leaning on him. You're dependent on him, the helper, who will help you because you have the Holy Spirit in you to help you, the Spirit of truth, once you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And then, but that, we need to lean on a lot to help others by also loving others, even when we don't feel like it. Because God created us. He created us to love one another, to love the unlovable.
And he knows sometimes we're not going to be that lovable. Do you think we're always lovable to him? No, he loves us no matter what, but he is not pleased when we're disobedient, but he loves us no matter what. And he wants us to continue to love others and to help each and every person. Slide 34, that is where, can I help somebody as I pass along? And this particular picture, isn't this cute? And it has the poem from Helen Keller, or a quote, I should say. She says, believe when you are most unhappy that there is something for you to do in the world. So long as you can sweeten another's pain, life is not in vain. God said that we are going to have in this world trials and tribulations. Hello, I don't know about you, but I've had my share. And it's not over until we're in heaven. And so we know that we can help ease somebody else's pain. And that is what we were created for, to not only love God and to have that intimate relationship with him, but we were created then to help one another, loving each other. Slide 37, it shows it, and that's the part where it says, if I can do my duty as a Christian ought. In this, these pictures that I chose, 2 Corinthians 10:4 is that picture with the man, and it might be of David, over a giant. And he has the sword, because remember, David went and got his sword. But what did he use? A stone to kill him with. But it says, 2 Corinthians 10:4, the weapons we fight with are not the weapons of the world. They have divine powers to demolish strongholds. And we have that power with us because Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. When you have Jesus as your Lord and your Savior, then you have that power because you have the blood covering you. And you have the authority of his name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We have that power, that kingdom authority. We are joint heirs with Christ. And we have that authority to move out. So we have that mighty authority with the power of prayer for others. Praying for this community. Do you remember when Pastor Doug Johnson, the previous pastor from me, he had one more soul for Jesus. One soul at a time, dear Jesus, for tomorrow may never be theirs. I think of that. I change the words up, I know. But I think, Lord, help me to continuously remember. One day at a time, yes, for you, that I need you to help me. Your helper is with me always. Help me to not grieve or quench the Holy Spirit, because I need you each and every moment of each and every day and night. But then help me to love others, even the unlovable, because each one needs Jesus. And sometimes that unlovable is a Christian. But help me to just love them in spite of our differences and challenges, maybe personality-wise or gifts and talents-wise or whatever. And help me to continue to love them because we are family. And not always do we, feel that good feeling towards family. But we need to love family. And we are family. Each one of us were created by the Almighty God, the creator of the heavens and the earth. He created us in his image. And so we need to love what God created and then help them to recognize that they need Jesus as their Lord and Savior. And then those that do have Jesus as their Lord and Savior to continue to be strengthened and grow in him and learn. This is what we have. But we can only do this as we walk in truth, because Jesus came to serve, not to be served, a perfect example. So I loved what I found on that one. Slide 38, it shows a mic, breaking beauty news. But then do you see the butterflies? Because see, once a person is born again, when they have Jesus as their Lord and Savior, they're born again. So often you'll see a butterfly representing that. Butterflies are part of God's creation. And in the one picture on the bottom, it says, beauty in God's handiwork. We have new DNA when we have Jesus as our personal Lord and Savior. The power of his blood covering us. The power of the Holy Spirit as we read the word. The power of the living water flowing through our bellies and our hearts into every cell as we claim and pray and believe in and walk in the truth.
See, it is then, as Isaiah 61 in that little stone, it says, I will bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes. Why? Because Jesus is our rock. Jesus is the chief cornerstone. He is the one that we need to continue to build everything on. He should be our foundation. And in that, we will become more and more beautiful as he turns that which has been ugly, past mistakes, people that have done things to us, and he will turn it into a beautiful mosaic piece brought together by his loving hands, brought together by the power of his love, by his son and what he did for us. We can help each other as we continue to walk in that and serve like Jesus served. Slide 39, and it has, is if I can spread love's message that the master taught, is the chorus to that, the words. And it has a picture of hands holding out a red heart. Because we need to constantly be giving to others the love of Jesus that is filled with the blood that he shed for each and every one of us. Because it is in that that we then have the power of the resurrection, that he died for everyone's sins. But then he rose again for everyone's salvation, and we have that power with us. And then the picture with the corkboard, love never fails. Just put it everywhere, wherever you can. And that love is always full of forgiveness and mercy and grace towards others. Then there's that quote with the roses from Mother Teresa. Let us always meet each other with a smile, for a smile's the beginning of love. I love this because God, who is love, who created us out of love, each one of us, no matter what the situation was, he created us out of love. But he created us that he knew, studies have proven, that when you even do a forced smile, it produces endorphins. Those are the good things. And even somebody who receives a forced smile, it's producing endorphins in them. That is just incredible. And that is a universal language. I love that she shared that. So, even when you have those unlovable situations, you just use that forced smile. Dude, really? Dudette, honestly? This is what we can do, and this is until we work out that forgiveness or work out that little, and then God can work in us, but it's working in us too. Lord, help me, because I don't feel like being nice to them right now. But it is through that the Holy Spirit empowers us to do that. This is what Jesus taught. He constantly taught others. He was the perfect example when they were accusing him falsely. He was fully God and fully man incarnate, but he had no sin. He was love. And yet, they crucified him. But he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Don't hold this sin against them. My blood's covering that too. So, what a perfect example of love. Slide 39, then my living shall not be in vain. This one shows the tulip, and it shows a poem by Emily Dickinson, who was 1830, she was a poet, 1830-1886. And it says, I can stop one heart from breaking. If I can stop one heart from breaking, I shall not live in vain. If I can ease one life, the aching, or cool one pain, or help one fainting robin unto his nest again, I shall not live in vain. God's creation we need to take care of too, besides one another. I thought that was beautiful too. And then slide 39, also showing the good, I think it's slide 39, or is it a different slide? Showing the Good Samaritan. And it's a different slide, the next one, so slide probably 40 or whatever. But it's the picture of the Bible times with many with a man, remember carrying that in the Bible and the parable, and the man carrying the man, this in this picture, to the place to get the help that he needs. And he pays for it. And then he comes back, checks on him, after he takes care of his business that he had to attend to. Others pass by, but he was the one that stopped. When I was at my little getaway for 3 days, they were recommending that for senior pastors to every few months to have a 3-day getaway. And when I was there, I met a gentleman, and I was helping another lady too. God had me help, and I was thinking, okay, Lord, okay, I came to like get away, and I'm, you know, meeting these people, would I do not be nice now? I mean, that's not good either. So, and I'm helping this person, and talked for several hours, and just helped here and there, and then I met a gentleman. The last day they had a breakfast, so I would have the breakfast that they'd have, and so I met this gentleman, but I didn't know he was going to be there. I was singing, humming the song as I'm going in, as I'm practicing, and then. Looking, and all the tables had somebody, unless I wanted to go outside. Well, you know, it's kind of still a little hot and humid. So I was like, okay. There's a table over in the corner, and it has just an empty plate and stuff. So probably they're gone. So I go and sit there. But when I was getting my coffee, I put my plate down. I went back to go get my coffee, I'm still humming the song, if I can help somebody. And then I'm, having to have to dodge to get my coffee and then go around to get my honey that I put in my coffee and stuff. And there's this gentleman, and I go, do you want to dance? And he goes, well, it sounds like you're singing and dancing, And I go, oh, yeah, ha, 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 yeah. And so we do this. And so then I go, and he goes, oh. And then he comes back, and I go sit down, and he goes, oh, thank you for joining me. And I go, oh, I'm sorry, but there was no place, and I didn't know, that I thought the person was done, and they just didn't throw their plate in the trash in an empty cup. And so, and he goes, so we'd start talking. And I started finding out about him. And he was going through some trials and had gone through some pretty heavy stuff. But so I said, can I pray, And so I was going to pray for them. And I said, I'll be praying. But he also told me a story, Good Samaritan story. He said, in the midst of this, I go, don't give up. Don't give up praying for this loved one that you care for. And you're not seeing the healing and deliverance that they've been praying and praying for healing and praying for deliverance and going here and going there and trying everything, claiming scriptures. He said, you should see my journal, claiming the scriptures and praying over the scriptures for this loved one. And I just am not seeing it. It's been years and years. I said, don't give up. I said, are you going back to church? And he goes, yeah, I was gone for a while, but I'm back. And I said, good. And I said, just don't give up. Don't give up. Don't give up the hope. And it's all for God's glory. Why he hasn't healed and delivered now, I don't know. But don't give up. And for this praying and interceding for this one and helping when you feel the Lord leading you to. I said, but remember, you answer to God, because God sometimes asks us to help, and sometimes he asks us to step back because he's working in the midst of it. So I said, listen to what God says, not what others are saying. Because he said, even well-meaning Christians, some of them were thinking he was crazy and was still helping after all these years. I said, I don't. I said, because that's between you and God. I said, sometimes God has us to help, sometimes he doesn't. Just listen and pray and trust that God will help you and when to help and when not to help. But he gave me an example. He goes, yeah, I know. I've seen God work miraculously. Some cool times with just God, and I just knew it. And he gave me this one. He said he was had a pastor friend, and it was in another state when he was living there. And they were driving to go meet somewhere, and he was behind the pastor, and he was behind a little ways. But he said he sees this African-American man bent over and walking over the overpass and kind of just having a hard time. And he feels the Holy Spirit, hears the Holy Spirit say, I want you to stop and help that man. But I'm behind, I'm going to be late to meet, he's going to be way ahead, so he's going through all of this. So he drives, past the overpass, and he hears it again. He goes, oh, okay. Stops, gets back there. And so he's waiting till the person would come down the embankment. But he's waiting and waiting and waiting in his car. It's 110 degrees. And then the Holy Spirit says, I didn't tell you to wait here. I said to get out and help them. And so he gets out of the vehicle and goes to find him because there was trees and stuff so he couldn't see. Well, he had gone down another side to the embankment and he was stuck and he couldn't go farther and he couldn't go up. But he said the way he looked also, he looked so like homeless in a sense, you know, very, you know, just not nice. And one of the things he had said before stopping was, he'll stink. He'll really, you know, reek. And he goes, yeah, he does. The Holy Spirit says, yep, he does. But I still want you to go and help him. And so he goes up to him, and he got stuck, and he had little ways to go, but he couldn't go farther, and he knew he couldn't walk up. So he was stuck in this situation. And he goes, you know, he goes, you just went by, huh, on the underpass. And he goes, yeah. And he goes, I know, the Lord told me he was going to have you stop for me. And he goes, the one before, you know, your pastor. And I go, yeah, I know your pastor drove by, but that wasn't the one God chose to do this, the Good Samaritan. God chose him to be the Good Samaritan. And so it is important that we listen to the Holy Spirit. Because sometimes, don't think that sometimes maybe you are to pass because it is somebody else's. But that's why it is so important to listen and be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So he says, this gentleman said, he goes, yeah. And he goes, I had a seizure the other night. He goes, in that seizure that I had, he urinated all over himself. And a lot of sweating, et cetera, happened in the seizure. And he fell asleep and he was stuck. And he was probably walking home or something. I don't know. And then he was trying to get back to get help when he woke up. And that's the state he found him in. And so he said, you know what, well, do you want me to take you home? And he goes, no. He goes, I don't know what's going on. So if I have another seizure, you won't know what to do with me. And he goes, take me to a medical clinic. So he did. He took him to a medical clinic. You never know what God is going to use you for. You just need to be obedient. It's that heart to want to help somebody. It's that heart to want to be as Jesus. And sometimes you know Jesus was to help, and sometimes he told his disciples, no, I'm not supposed to go there. We need to go here. Yes, bring them to me. No, I need time alone. So he listened to what the Lord said, and he did. He had a heart full of compassion. But there was times when he was to be the one and times when he wasn't. There was times when he sent his disciples and he empowered them to do that. And then there were times when he was the one. So we need to be obedient to the Lord. This Good Samaritan story you can find in Luke chapter 10. I recommend you read it again. But another Good Samaritan? Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. had a heart. A heart that came from the Lord. And a heart for those. He wanted justice and he wanted equality, which is what Jesus died for. And he crossed cultural lines constantly, showing that and displaying that God loves everyone. And that in God's eyes, all are equal. But yes, he appoints certain positions, and we are to honor everyone and honor positions that may be at a higher rate or responsibility, but we all are equal in God's eyes. And what is honoring to him is when we are where we are at, using the gifts and talents he has given us for his purposes and for his glory. In this speech that was on August 28, 1963, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, 50 years ago, a great American in whose symbolic shadow we stand, which is President Lincoln, today signed the Emancipation Proclamation. This momentous decree is a great beacon light of hope to millions of Negro slaves who have been seared in the flames of withering injustice. It came as a joyous daybreak to end the long night of their captivity. But 100 years later, the Negro is still not free. We need to remember, too, though, there are many out there, whatever skin color they are, that are not free. They are walking around not even realizing that they are not free. Just as this proclamation, Emancipation Proclamation, was written and signed by the president, Jesus Christ died for everybody's sins over 2,000 years ago. And that proclamation was to emancipate, to free each and every person, no matter what skin color, to help them to be free from death and damnation, the punishment for sin, and to bring them into a relationship with Jesus, to empower them that no matter what goes on in life, that he will be there by their side, helping them each and every step of the way if they love and obey him and trust him. This is what Jesus did for each and every one of us. President Lincoln knew that. President Lincoln was a man who prayed and relied on the Lord and claimed the word and knew the word. And that is why he wrote and signed the Emancipation Proclamation. He goes on to say further in his speech, "We have also come to this hallowed spot to remind America the fierce urgency of now. This is no time to engage in the luxury of cooling off or to take the tranquilizing drug of gradualism." Same for us. We are here when Jesus is our Lord and Savior. We are here to not just sit back and relax. Oh, Jesus is my Lord and Savior now. Woohoo! My way is heaven. And be, yes, that's exciting for you. But now you need to use that, not just sit back and lay back and go, yeah, things are good. I'm on my way to heaven. Yeah, this is not my home. Well, no matter what happens to me. No, we need to remember that our home, yes, is in heaven once Jesus is our Lord and our Savior. But we need to help others to know and receive and believe and have Jesus as their personal Lord and Savior. And then to help others, to encourage each other, to not give up no matter how hard the trials and the difficulties are. This fierce urgency, he kept saying, is now is the time. Four times he mentioned that. Now is the time. For us, we need to remember, now is the time. Because Jesus is coming soon, and we need to continue to grow in him, and we need to continue to serve him, and we need to continue to care for every single one of those lost souls and help them to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. We need to be his hands and his feet. And we are empowered when we pray and when we're in the word and when we hear or come to church. It says, do not forsake the fellowship of other Christians, as Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 talks about that. Especially in the last days, we are here to help one another and to be built up, to worship him together as part of the family, to share in what Jesus did and remembering him by taking the Lord's Supper, communion. This is what we are to do. Now is the time to continue to not give up going to church, to not give up going to prayer meetings during the week, to not give up going to discipleship or Bible studies during the week, to not give up forsaking the fellowship of other Christians. And then because of our heart wanting to continue to be empowered by him, growing in him, feeding us, so that we can help others. Now is the time because many are perishing. He says, 1963 is not an end, but a beginning. And I'm telling you, September 2013 is not an end, but it is a beginning. We need to remember that our citizenship is in heaven. We are joint heirs with Jesus. He goes on to say, in the process of gaining our rightful place, we must not be guilty of wrongful deeds. Let us not seek to satisfy our thirst for freedom by drinking from the cup of bitterness and hatred. Once again, Jesus wants us to remember that we need to forgive one another constantly, loving and forgive, love and forgive. How many times? One of the guys asked Jesus, he goes, you know, just like forever, continuously, don't stop. Because if you really, you know, it says 70 times 7, but if you really look up what that originally means, it means like don't stop, because you know what? People are going to offend you. And people are going to hurt you. And Martin,
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., he was one that emphasized that in his speech. Do not do it in anger. Do not do it out of fighting. He would not be happy with some of the things that are going on today. But he was one that do it peacefully and with love, motivated by the love of the Lord God Almighty, who is the one that he walks around with freedom, even though he had black colored skin. President Lincoln, white colored skin. They both loved God and they both lived for justice and for what was right. This is what we need to do. He goes on in his speech, we cannot walk alone. Isn't that true? We need not only the Lord God Almighty, the Lord Jesus as our Lord and Savior and empowered by the Holy Spirit, but we need one another. Amen. And then he has a question. When will you be satisfied? And then he says seven times, either we are not satisfied. We never can be satisfied. We cannot be satisfied. No, be not satisfied. He mentions that seven times. And we need to not be satisfied until every single person on earth is saved. And there's a lot more to be saved. In other words, we're not going to be done until either Jesus takes us home or until he returns. We'll still be going home, but either way. But you know what I mean? By either death or he comes. So we need to just continue to grow in him and to love others. Loving him is wanting to grow in him and to be strengthened by him and to love others. And then it goes on to say, I say to you today, my friends, even though we face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream rooted deeply. And then he goes on to say, I have a dream nine times. It is a dream deeply rooted. I have a dream. The rough places will be made plain. The rough places will be made plain. And the crooked places will be made straight. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed. And all flesh shall see it together. This is our hope. This is the faith that I go back to. This is the faith that we will be able to hew out of the mountain of despair. A stone of hope. Remember, Jesus is our chief cornerstone. 10 times he then goes on to say, let freedom ring, let freedom ring, let freedom ring. Jesus, 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 let freedom ring. When we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every city and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Great God Almighty, free at last. And see, this is what we want, each and every one, because when we have Jesus as our Lord and Savior, that is our song. Free at last! Free at last! Thank God Almighty, I am free at last! And this is what we need to be moving in. Each and every day when we wake up, we need to say, thank you, God! Thank you that I am free! And I am walking no matter what difficulties I face today, no matter what challenges, no matter who is there, I am free, because Jesus loves me. Jesus is my Lord and my Savior. May I be yours, Lord God. And may I live in that. May I walk in that. Martin Luther King Jr. was a man with vision, dream, hope. Vision is the act of seeing external objects. In Scripture, it is a revelation from God, an appearance of exhibition of something supernaturally presented to the minds of the prophets by which they were informed of future events. This is what Martin Luther King Jr. moved in, because he was given that by God. Same for Abraham Lincoln, President Abraham Lincoln. He was given that by God. 2 Corinthians 5:7 says, we walk by faith, not by sight. And Hebrews 11, known as the faith chapter. Verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him with all of their heart, with all of their soul, with all of their mind, with all of their strength. By faith, in verse 7, Noah, being divinely warned of the things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household. Verse 8, by faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of a place which he would receive as an inheritance. Then other examples go on and on. By faith, Moses. By faith, the harlot Rahab. By faith, verses 32 through 35. And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women receive their dead raised to life again, and we will see more of that as we continue to walk in the freedom that God gave us. But many are not walking in that. Many are not walking in the authority that we've been given. We need to walk as strong warriors for God, as the spotless bride, as we continue to have hearts that are seeking him and pure and caring for one another. And that's what we're here for. Dream. Noah Webster's dictionary says in Scripture, dreams were sometimes impressions on the minds of sleeping persons made by divine agency. And then God came to Abimelech in a dream, and he gives another example. Joseph was warned by God in a dream. Those are in Genesis 20 and Matthew 2. Dream. To think. To imagine. Dream. To see in a dream. Dream. A visionary. Oh. President Abraham Lincoln and Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. were visionaries. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 20 through 21, which is written on this pulpit. The Amplified. Now to him who by, in consequence of, the action of his power that is at work within us, is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far above, far over, all that we dare ask or think, infinitely beyond our highest prayers, desires, thoughts, hopes, or dreams. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Because as Philippians 2:13 says in the NLT, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Because we need to remember, as Zechariah 4:6 says, this is not the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord to each one of us. It was to Zerubbabel, but it's to each one of us as we love him and obey. It's not by might, not by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., a man of vision, a man who dreamed, a man of hope. The Noah Webster's dictionary says, a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of obtaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. Hope continues to give a little note on it. It says, hope differs from wish and desire in this, that it implies some expectation of obtaining the good desired, or the possibility of possessing it. Hope, therefore, always gives pleasure or joy, whereas wish or desire may produce or be accompanied with pain and anxiety. See, how many are walking around not with the hope that Jesus is? Jesus is our hope. Pathway of Hope doesn't have its name just by chance. We are to help others to know and walk in the pathway of hope. Full of hope as we lean on Jesus as our Lord and our Savior. We trust him and we are obedient to God Almighty. This is our hope and this is what we need to continuously walk in, because we not need to wish or desire that's filled with anxiety, but hope. Hope that, Lord God, you will do in my life individually as is your will, pleasing to you, that I will be in your perfect will, in your perfect way, in your perfect timing, that I will not go too forward, that I too fast, I will not be behind your perfect will, I will not veer off to the left, I will not veer off to the right, I will be in your perfect will and your perfect way and your perfect timing, right here, right now. That is hope. Job chapter 8, verse 11 through 14. Can the papyrus grow up without a marsh? Can the reeds flourish without water? While it is yet green and not cut down, it withers before any other plant. So are the paths of all who forget God, and the hope of the hypocrite shall perish, whose confidence shall be cut off. We need to not be hypocrites. We need to trust in the one true living God and encourage each other when we've, not that you're having a hypocritical heart by, you know, means, but maybe you veer off. So because we want to help them get back onto the path of hope, the path that has no anxiety, the path that has no discouragement, the path that is filled with the hope, that is filled with the joy of the Lord, so that he will be their strength. And we... Do you remember on June 30th, rest, we did the sermon on wet rest, the message. And it was about how to revive wilted potted plants. Well, because as we see in this Job 8 through 11, we need to have received the water. We need to receive the living word. We need to receive the growth from the Lord as we trust him, as we pray, as we communicate on him, as we are leaning on him, as we are saying, Jesus, I want you to be my Lord and master today. I am submitting to you and your ways because it's all for God's glory. As we are submitting to that, this is where we will see God move. Yes, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was a man of vision, dream, and hope. And he said, a quote, the time is always right to do what is right. He says, life's most important question on the next slide, he says, life's most persistent and urgent question is, what are you doing for others? What are we doing for others? Tomorrow is Labor Day. And Labor Day, this slide 64, and it has, you know, Labor Day with it in the red, white, and blue, and the flag and the stars. But when I look at the flag, the American flag, I see the red, reminds me of Jesus' blood that covers us. I see the white, reminding me that we are washed whiter than snow. And I see the blue representing, like, it was the color of the ephod that the priests wore. It represents the divine healer, the great physician, because there is nothing that God cannot heal, nothing that God cannot redeem, nothing that God cannot restore. Nothing is impossible with God, and we need to walk in that. So on this Labor Day, as we continue to love and serve God, we need to remember that it is because of who he is that we are. He is the one that created us. He created us to love him and to obey him, to trust him, to grow in him, to who truly have Jesus as our Lord and Savior and walk in that. The next slide, showing the cross. Happy Labor Day. Can we do it in our own strength? No. But we can do it when we rely on what the flag represents, the red, the white, the blue. In other words, because we are walking when Jesus is our Lord and Savior, and we can do it together. That little stamp, I wish our stamps were 3 cents, but that little stamp says, labor is life. See, Jesus came to serve, not to be served. So we need to remember that no matter what we're doing, we are a team, as the next slide shows, 66. We are a team, and no matter what role and responsibility you have, we are a team. And the muscles, and I know it shows that woman, you know, but I like the picture of everybody else, you know, man or woman. The muscle power that we have, the glowing and the radiance, only comes by the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And this is how we can have true happiness, to go on and be and do. Wherever God has us, we need to move in the power of the Holy Spirit wherever we are at, whatever we are doing. We can do that. So tomorrow, a Labor Day salute to you. Thank you for all you do. I mean, we need to remember it is for us, not for us, but it is for God's glory, everything that we do. And we cannot do anything without him. Jesus says, I can do nothing without my Father. We cannot do anything and be the breath that every person, whether they're a Christian or not, the air that they breathe is because God gave it to them to breathe. And his desire is for them not to perish, but come to the knowledge of the truth and to be saved, to have Jesus as the Lord and Savior, to have those blinders taken off. So we need to remember that we are here not for ourselves, but to labor because he is the one that gave us labor. Labor, in the Noah Webster's Dictionary, one of the definitions is exertion of mental powers united with bodily employment as the labors of the apostles in propagating Christianity. It gives many, many different scriptures, and but we need to remember that serving is labor. One of the definitions in the Noah Webster's definition for serve, the verb transitive, is to work for, to bestow the labor of body and mind in the employment of another. When Jesus became our Lord and Savior, we were employed by the God Almighty, our Heavenly Father, in a sense that we were also empowered by Him. We were given His riches, His supplies through Jesus, our Lord and Savior. And we were given to be the joint heirs and walking in that kingdom authority. We are His, and He is ours. And we are not alone to continue to serve. We see many examples. Jesus is the founder and the perfecter of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 3, the ESV says, "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider Him who endured from sinners such hostility against Himself, so that you may not grow weary or faint-hearted." Another quote that Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. says, "Not everyone can be famous, but everyone can be great, because greatness is determined by service. You only need a heart full of grace and a soul generated by love." Jesus is our perfect example. Jesus, as I've mentioned, came to serve, not to be served. And we can see that in Matthew 20:28 and Mark 10:45. But remember, as slide 68 shows, we are the church together. We, as the next slide shows, we need to continue to connect and grow and serve and to love to serve, because we are filled with the love of God, and God created us to serve, just as Jesus knew that that was what He was to do. And when we help others, this is what God created us to do. Some of us sometimes, maybe all you can do is by praying. There is power in prayer. And claim the word of God and claim the power that you have and the authority that you have in Jesus' name over that situation. There is power in serving, and if you can only pray, pray and pray and pray. But we need to serve Him, and we need to have those hearts of serving. As slide 70 shows, serving God, loving people, and the R, He is our rock. He is our cornerstone. We need to continue to love and grow and serve. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus is our rock, our chief cornerstone, our foundation. Galatians 6:9 says, "So let's not get tired of doing what is good at just the right time, in due season, at the proper time. We will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up, if we don't lose heart." And Hebrews 10:24-25, "And let us consider and give an attentive, continuous care in watching over one another, studying how we may stir up, stimulate, and incite to love and helpful deeds and noble activities, not forsaking or neglecting to assemble together as believers, as is the habit of some people, but admonishing, warning, urging, and encouraging one another, and all the more faithfully as you see the day approaching." So, September 4th, as I mentioned, we have lots to celebrate right now. And on September 4th of the eve at sundown, as I said, is the Jewish New Year. Rosh Hashanah, Hebrews, literally head of the year, is the Jewish New Year. It is the first of the high holy days of Yom Norin, Days of Awe, celebrated 10 days before Yom Kippur. Rosh Hashanah is observed on the first 2 days of Tishri, the 7th month of the Hebrew calendar. It is described in the Torah as Yom Teruah, a day of sounding the shofar. Can you sound the shofar? This is the new year, what they, many will be doing. And I found one that blows the way that they do it when I did some research. And so she's going to... blast, the first one, the sound of the king's coronation is what is represented by that. The three short whale-like blasts, that's signifying repentance. And then the other, the nine staccato blasts of the alarm to awaken the soul. And then just to give a great long blast. The sound, as I read, one of the gentlemen wrote, he goes, the sound is piercing when done well, and it's difficult to do. And it sounds ancient and eternal all at the same time. It's a sound that's meant to awaken us from the torpor of our daily routines, to jolt our seats to the upright in locked position and focus on things way bigger than us and our often petty concerns. Huh. Isn't that true? So, we have a lot to celebrate, do you see?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And on Wednesday at sundown, remember the new year, and remember we need to focus on who God is and why he created us. The title of this message today is For God's Glory. Every part is for God's glory. What Dr. Martin Luther King did was for God's glory. What President Abraham Lincoln was for God's glory. What we are celebrating today and tomorrow, Labor Day, is for God's glory. What we are celebrating today as far as the 1 year of continuing on. Do you see what God is doing? We need to have hearts that continue to seek as we come to this new year. We need to seek God and as we do as a New Year's resolutions, in other words, you're coming to God and say, Holy Spirit, reveal to me anything that I have grieved you or quenched you, anything that I am not doing that is not well-pleasing to you. Help me, Lord God, and I repent of it right now, and help me to turn from it, change, to get refocused and redirected, to be strengthened only by you, empowered only by you to continue on to do what is well-pleasing to you. And Lord, help me to know what it is you want me to do. The dreams, the vision, the hope that only comes from you, because I live for you, not for me. I live for you. So we need to remember that. This is a special time. September is incredible. Holidays, holy days, and feasts for the Jewish people, and we are one with them. We are grafted in by the blood of Jesus Christ as our Lord and our Savior. And we need to remember that. We need to remember what Jesus did for us and for each and every one. And we need to be praying for the peace for Jerusalem and Israel continuously. Now is the time. So do you remember slide 74? That we need to receive and we need to continue to dream. But we need to continue to dream with the God-given dreams, because that's when we are in loving obedience to him. In his way, during his going into his perfect will, it'll be in his timing that he will fulfill his dream that he has given us. We are to surrender any of our dreams and give to him so he will be Lord and master over our lives. Amen. Pastor Johnny and Mindy Johnson were the founding pastors of this church, Pathway of Hope, 8 years ago. And they had their mission, a statement, vision, loving God, loving others, nothing more, nothing less. God continued that with Pastor Doug Johnson when he then became the senior pastor of Pathway of Hope. We exist to glorify God by being a spirit-filled people, empowered by him to do his perfect will in this imperfect world. Continuing on, same thing, building. God builds and builds and builds. And then all of a sudden, I'm appointed as the senior pastor. And God says, I'm going to continue to love God, to continue to have you loving him and loving others and continuing to glorify him, being empowered by him to do his perfect will in this imperfect world. As you continue to love, trust, and obey me, and helping the blind to see, to know the truth, to set the captives free, but being a light for him and the community. We have been given a name, new name, Isaiah 62. Remember that. That was given to us. And remember, as the map on the next slide, 75, shows that the number 15, he gave us that. Just he said to, the key is to now add John 3:21 and John 6:21 together. 15, divine grace. We need to move in that. And he will use us to be that light in this community and beyond. We can do that because that big plus sign is the big T for the big G, God. We need to remember that we need to move only in him. For we are a light, not for ourselves, but we are a light for him. Isaiah 58:8-9. Then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, here I am. Because we are now walking in the new name that Pathway of Hope has been given. You are a house of prayer. You are a healing and salvation center because you claim my name. You live and breathe and move and depend on me. I am the one that is the source of Pathway of Hope. I am the one that is the source of every church. I am the one who has created the body of Christ. And we are part of the body of Christ. And we are going to move in that in this new year. Eight. Can you, it's exciting. Eight new beginnings in this world of darkness, as slide 76 says, we need to move in the light. And then when we move in the power of the light that infuses us and empowers us, we will see the miracles of Jesus, only because it is not because for our glory, it is to bring him glory, fame to his name, because Jesus said, I will allow you to do even better and greater miracles than I did if you do it in my name, claiming the power and authority that you have by the blood that covers you when Jesus Christ is our Lord and our Savior. And he said, it's not even for his glory, it is for the Father's glory. Amen. So we need to remember, as slide 77 says, we are empowered to serve. Amen. That was the last one in the acronym that he gave us, RECEIVE. Be empowered and move. And remember, we are not alone. We have the Holy Spirit with us, but we also have his angels. So we need to move in that power. Psalm 90, 16 and 17, our opening scripture. Let your work be shown to your servants and your glorious power to their children. Let the favor of the Lord our God be upon us and establish the work of our hands upon us. Yes, establish the work of our hands, because it's not for us. It is for you, and it is for your glory, Lord God. We thank you, and we praise you, Lord God. Thank you. Pastor Janet? Oh, sorry.